Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Oak Grove, it is the Eagle Hour. Glad that you're with us on the Super Talk Mississippi Network or online, wherever you might be listening to us from. This week, it's Beauty and the Beast Week here on the Eagle Hour. Yesterday, the Southern Miss cheerleaders. Today, Chuck Cook and Mark Means. I mean, you talk about Beauty and the Beasts. On the show today, Chuck Cook played at Southern Miss. Of course, if you're a Southern Miss fan, you know all about Chuck Cook. Maybe not so much about Mark Means, but Chuck Cook played from 1977 to 1980. Mark Means from 1978 to 82. They're in town for the Nasty Bunch reunion this weekend. We're going to talk Southern Miss football a little bit later on in the program. Stats McGee will be joining us today as he breaks down all the numbers. He's kind of the Mad Hatter down in his basement with the lab coat and the test tubes and coming out with all the different records that he anticipates the Sun Belt teams will amass this year. Dima Mixon is also here. Bob Getty off today. This first segment brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. If you're ready for your tailgate party, you're never completely ready until you let Dickey's handle all the cooking, whether it's for five people or a 500 people that are maybe at your tailgate or whatever, plus all the side dishes. We're glad to have Dickey's Barbecue Pit a part of the program. We mentioned that Chuck Cook and Mark Means are on the show today. Chuck Cook played from 77 to 1980, a running back and a wide receiver out of high school at the old dungeon, as they used to call it, at Oak Grove High School, which is now the middle school. Then switched to safety and a kick returner. Actually, as a kick returner, he had a career return average of over 20 yards a kick in his career at Southern Miss. Probably the most notable win, and we'll get his opinion on that, was a 16-14 win over McNeese in the Independence Bowl back in the day, and also beat Auburn back in 1977. Mark Means out of the Jackson area, a school. Mark was such a trouble student that they closed the school after he left McClure, but then walked on at Southern Miss, earned a scholarship. Now, did you get your degree, Mark, in computer science? Is that, or what was your degree in at
Math.
Math. Oh, just math. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was math back then because computers didn't exist.
It was simple math.
Yeah, yeah. Not the new math,
yeah,
right?
Not that new math.
So let's talk a little bit. We want to make sure we get the heavy lifting taken care of first. You guys are part of the original Nasty Bunch, and you guys are organizing for this weekend, the opener against Alcorn, a Nasty Bunch reunion, which really encompasses teams from about 1977 all the way to 1982. So, Mark, why don't you tell us about that, kind of fill in some of those blanks about when you guys are getting together this weekend and how people can participate and whatnot. This Saturday?
It's Saturday. What time?
Come on in closer.
Saturday at,
I think
about 1:30, yeah. Meeting at the M Club.
Yeah.
I think the last count was like 150.
I think it was 150
people or said they're going to be coming to this event.
And then game, you guys will then get together at 3:30 at Gate 9, where you will then take in the game against Alcorn. But this is just the first event of something that you guys are trying to do in the future.
That's correct, yeah.
Tell us more about that.
We're trying to get the team of 77, if you were a player, 77 to 82, trying to get those teams into the Hall of Fame.
As a team?
As a team.
As a team.
Yeah. Now, Chuck, he's in the Hall of Fame by himself already. So
yeah, he is in the M Club,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, he's in the actual Hall of Fame.
I got inducted in '93.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah.
We're going to have to kind of share this mic here, guys. There you go.
I got inducted in 93, at Southern Miss in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, this is a way that we can get the Nasty Bunch, which really started our winning era of getting everybody together and the offense and the defense having us inducted as a unit. We're trying to push that.
Now, your high school career, Chuck, goes back to Oak Grove when, with all due respect, Oak Grove was kind of a little – two-room schoolhouse, you know, back in the day before a lot of westward movement in Hattiesburg moved toward Oak Grove, and they become the football powerhouse that they are now. And you were, by all accounts that we get, and particularly from head coach Joe Gordy back then, you were the best player on that team. But didn't you kind of have to be, being the son of Hamp Cook, who, of course, went on to scout for the New Orleans Saints, and which you just retired as a scout yourself?
Absolutely. You know, it was in 1974, I came to Oak Grove from Hattiesburg, and I had a chance to come in, and we were Apache Conference is what we were in. We were actually, and, you know, it just didn't it just wasn't a very, very good team at that time, you know. And Joe Gordy came in as a new head coach, and we turned things around, and we actually won a lot of games in my career. And I finished in 76, and we beat Purvis, and we took that crown. But I had 100 in my actual graduation class. Yeah, it was really small, and I had to play all positions. I never came off the field, basically.
Yeah, running back, wide receiver, we mentioned that. And
the punter.
Yeah.
And we did so much, and we had such a great time there, and I was really highly recruited, you know, out of high school as a running back. You know, a lot of colleges were coming after me, but, you know, since my dad had been here, I just felt like I would really just want to be here in Hattiesburg instead of going to Auburn or going to Alabama or going someplace, and just let the people that actually pushed me during my Oak Grove career and let them see me play college football at Southern Miss. And Bobby Collins obviously pushed real hard to get me. And they were 2-6 or 2-9, I think, in 76. And we turned that thing around. We made it. He started gradually. And then, of course, in 1980, I didn't get redshirted. I went 4 straight. And we were 20th in the nation my senior year. And we actually went and played McNeese in the end.
And it was very rare that true freshmen ever took the field, but you did.
It was me, Hanford Dixon, and Marvin Harvey, and Jamie Watson were the four, I think, off the top of my head, that didn't get redshirted. Basically, usually you get your extra year to get that 5 years in, but Bobby said, hey, I want you to come in and return some kicks and play some ball and be on the special teams early, you know. So I wish he would have redshirted me, but again, I just wanted to help the team. We went to Hawaii that year, if you remember, in 77 and played.
It's so wild to me to think about how, like, much we remember about sports sometimes. You know, I was thinking the other day, my wife was like, why don't you remember, you know, the last thing I told you, whatever it could be. But, you know, you're just remembering every little detail about something that happened in, you know, what did you say, 77?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I can remember just about every Southern Miss score from now since 2008 when I was, you know, I was 5 at that point. So, Kelly, I mean, you're catching on to that.
Do you
remember a lot of things, or is it just kind of something happens and it just...
No, and honestly, I attribute it to the ton of marijuana that I smoked in college. that had to have been it. But Mark, you were going to get in on the conversation too.
I was going to make a point about Chuck. His first play that he ever played on the field, he was at a receiver, and his first play, he scored a touchdown.
Now, Chuck, if you would have gone to your dad, Hamp Cook, and said, Dad, I don't want to play football. I want to dance. What would have happened?
Be a cheerleader.
I just want to say he probably would have said, hey, do what you want to do. No, I don't know what he would have said, really, if I wouldn't have gone that route. But it's in my blood.
I was going to say, but did you feel like you had to not just be a football player, but that you had to be an elite football player?
That's the way I was wired. It's just amazing how, you know, I just tried to follow his footsteps. You know, he was a little All-American in 54, and he was in the – Senior Bowl. I mean, he just didn't go in the pros, but he played guard in the 50s at 170 pounds, you know. I mean, back in those days, but he was just tough as a ladder nut, you know. And he just was he was a great inspiration, and he's the one that got me into scouting, you know. And after football and when I couldn't play anymore, he's the one that really turned this thing around for me.
Now, Mark Means, I want to ask you about your career was unique in the sense that you walked on. You were a guy that walked on, and there's a lot of odds that you have to overcome just to be a walk-on. And a lot of guys would say, not worth it. It's not worth the effort. I'm not going to go on scholarship, or there's a really good chance I'm not going to go on scholarship. What made you prevail? What made you first decide to walk on and tell yourself, I'm going to do what it takes?
I had one offer out of high school, and it was at Mississippi College to play football and baseball. And I got back after the recruiting trip, and I always wanted to play Division I football. So I think it was Mac Brown was the receiver coach at that time.
Former head coach at North Carolina, among other places.
In Texas, yeah.
Right.
And he called my dad and said, you know, they were interested, might want a, you know, a preferred walk-on. And so I'm like, let's do it. And I drove down in my green Nova, and
those green Novas were chick magnets back in the day, weren't they? You
know? Yes, they were.
When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Chuck Cook and Mark Means, and also talk about the transition from Bobby Collins to Jim Carmody, and was Big Nasty as nasty as he was made out to be? That and more stuff as this edition of the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Forest Healthcare. And Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team this time of year is fun. But don't forget about the most important player, and that's you. Don't forget to get your annual physical and be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. One of the reasons that Hattiesburg is always listed among the best places to retire for retirees across the country. Reach out to them at foresthealth.org. Continuing our conversation with Southern Miss greats Chuck Cook and Mark Means, both of you guys, it's been brought to our attention, were named Super Eagles. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Will Hall day, we knew what a super back was, right? Right. But what was a super eagle? Whoever wants to take that one, jump in there. Mark, tell us what super eagle was all about.
Super eagle was the person at the end of the season that had the most decals on their helmet.
Okay.
So
were they skeletons or the skeleton bones or whatever they were back
we
then?
We wish. Yeah.
Okay.
But like the defense had certain objectives. Each position had certain objectives. And, you know, someone like me, a receiver, had certain objectives. And, you know, my claim to fame was cutting down cornerbacks. So you'd get certain number of decals for those items. And plus you'd have the offensive goals.
Sure.
And if you hit those, everybody on the offense would get a decal or whatever. And it was the same thing for defense. I can't remember the defense.
And at the end of the year, if you had enough of those, you were a super eagle. And both you and Chuck were super eagles in the same year.
If you not same
different
year.
Different years.
Okay. Chuck
Different years. Yeah, again, that was, like he said, objectives for offense and defense and special teams now, because I played on all special teams, and that's where I accumulated a lot of my tackles, too, was on special teams, you know, in those years. But yeah, it's accumulation of all those goals.
We talked going into the commercial break about the Bobby Collins and Jim Carmody. When the whole thing went down, Chuck, with Bobby Collins going to SMU, what was the initial reaction that you recall?
Well, Bobby Collins was my coach for all my college career, from 77 to 80, and again, I didn't get redshirted, but he was one of my idols. I mean, he really was a tough disciplinarian, a true honest guy who would not do anything out of what happened at SMU in my mind, you know, and it was really a big shock. And I just think at SMU, Meyer had already started that thing at SMU,
right.
and they were getting cars and they were getting all kinds of stuff, and he couldn't control it when he got there, you know. And that's kind of my reasoning for how it went down. But they got the death penalty, but.
And, of course, when he left, then Jim Carmody was elevated from the defensive coordinator. Well, he had come from the Buffalo Bills, I think, at the time. And Carmody then was named the head coach. But Carmody, I'm sure, was on the staff at some points, you know, those years. So what type of coach was Jim Carmody for you, Chuck? What do you remember about
I remember his explaining Jim Carmody is really, really tough, because this guy is I think he could tongue lash you, and he could really just motivate you by pushing you every day, and you know, he'd been through some tough times, and he's had some tough players, but he was just a rare tough guy that wanted perfection, and he pushed you in the conditioning and the psychological game.
And he had this intimidating factor about him, Mark. But in one of the instances in a story you tell was that a problem that he had with you, he was just very forthright. He didn't necessarily get up in your face, but he said, you know, is what we're asking you to do a little bit too tough? And kind of take it from there.
Yeah, there was an incident. I got to be on the Nasty Bunch one spring. They moved me from receiver to cornerback. And, you know, part of that duty was to take on a Marvin Harvey-type tight end, which was very difficult.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot. But there was a play. I missed a tackle. Coach Carmody came over and said, "Means, is this league too tough for you?" And I'm like, "No, sir." And he goes, "Well, if it is, we can find you a nice junior college to go to." And so,
but he wasn't up in your face. He didn't tear your head off.
He was. He talked like very calm. And a few plays later, I intercepted a pass, and he came up to me and said, "That's how I want you to play." So
now we hear, and of course, it's good to have Dima here too, because he's heard tell about the Nasty Bunch, but probably hasn't met a lot of the players that were on the Nasty Bunch. When you've seen the inconsistency in the Southern Miss program, which used to really bring respect and fear, we hope it still does, but when you see the team struggle through some of the ebbs and flows of the last 10 years or so, Mark, how does that make you feel? How do you react to that?
Well, you know, Chuck and I, you know, we've been friends for 40-something years now, and it's, you know, we're used to a certain standard, and just like when they were used to a certain standard, you know, teaching us, and, you know, to see certain things happen the way they've happened, it's pretty disappointing.
Chuck, I want to get your same reaction, but taking it with the idea, too, that the game and the landscape of football has changed a little, or is that any excuse?
I just think that we were put – I just think that we had the inner drive and pushed ourselves because we were pushing for perfection each day, getting a little bit better, you know, building this thing. stacking it, you know, each practice. And, of course, our coaches were really tough on us, and we didn't, we had salt tablets. I don't even think we had much to drink. So they really just took us – we were the most outstanding conditioned guy, and that's how we won a lot of games too, is by pushing ourselves and having our mind so strong that we were not gonna, we refused to lose.
Going back to the helmet decal thing, that's actually something I'd like to see return to Southern Miss. I just think, you know, some of the traditions that, you know, growing up, I guess, when I would go to Southern Miss games with my, like, dad and stuff, have kind of gone away. You know, we still have, there's still the Eagle Walk, there's still this, there's still some, but I would like to see them, you know, kind of buy into a little more tradition, such as, you know, the helmet decals. I mean, I think that was always a fun thing for me to see, and they've just kind of gone away from that. And not a lot of schools have that anymore. You know, like Florida State has it, Ohio State has it, you know, Michigan, Texas have it to a degree. But I just think the decals thing is pretty cool because, you know, you start with the start of the season, nobody has any, and then at the end you see how the season is transformed on the helmet and things like that.
Yeah, very competitive, and it's an incentive. It pushes you. You know, each time you get one, boy, it's just a pride, and you say, I'm going to keep getting it. I'm going to keep getting it.
Right.
And that's what drives you, you know, a lot in that way.
But there always has seemed to be, not just at Southern Miss, but in colleges countrywide, there always seems to be an academic community and an athletics community, and they've always kind of seemed to butt heads. You know, the academic side saying, I just don't understand why so much emphasis is put in athletics. And if you're in athletics, you understand the importance of it. And I think I want to pick up on something you said just a second ago, Mark, that you guys have been friends for 40 years. That goes back to football. So what is it about athletics, in this instance, football, where many of you are still very much engaged in each other's lives? You're best men at weddings, your groomsmen, all those sorts of things. What is it about, I think, football in particular that makes you guys so doggone tight regardless of what life deals you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could maybe compare it to the military. I mean, you know, you're fighting for each other, you're sweating with each other, you're banging heads, and, you know, that does something to you. And, you know,
I know.
To have the opportunity to even be around Chuck, you know, for so many years is.
And did you know that Chuck was as good as he was then, what he turned out to be? Did you know at the time you were in the midst of a pretty doggone good player?
Yeah, because he hit me a lot.
Okay. You have strong feelings, Chuck, about the camaraderie that football brings.
Oh my gosh. Football brings so much camaraderie. That's one of the reasons, obviously, that I would tell any young kid, you know, and parents of young. I don't like the banging and the concussion aspect of it, but it brings you together again. It's like Mark said, it's like a war, and you're in the bunker, and you got your buddies back. I mean, and that just makes you, it brings you so much, so tighter, and I just believe that that is a way that's why we come so close, and that's why we don't want to disappoint, and we always have their back.
And Chuck, you know, you played for the loyalty and the love of Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. Now guys are chasing paychecks. You were an NFL scout. You're now retired. How can you describe your feelings as to what's going on with the NFL and the NIL deals and things? It just has completely changed everything.
It's gone crazy. It really has. It's gone crazy. The NIL is, you know, it's the SEC money that these SEC programs have. You know, they can pay. They pay guys a lot, but you know, as a scout, you always say, "Hey, at least you know how they handle money." You know, that's one thing you can give positive to it. But anything else, I think, is bad about it.
Chuck Cook and Mark Means were members of the original Nasty Bunch back in the day. As I do air quotes here on radio, they're going to be getting together this coming Saturday. And in our final segment of the Eagle Hour today, we'll go back over those times and dates. If you are a member of those teams and the word has not gotten out to you, we're going to help spread that word about the Nasty Bunch reunion coming up this weekend when the Eagles take on the Braves of Alcorn State. Chuck and Mark, continued success. You're always welcome on the Eagle Hour anytime. When we come back, Stats McGee will break down how he thinks the Sun Belt will turn out. We continue in just a moment.
Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Eagle Tire West. Former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products and all kinds of different tire products. Full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. And about 15 minutes after the show is done today live, you can download it on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Apple, Audible, Spotify, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play that for you as well. As promised, going into the commercial break, Stats McGee. It's been a while since he's been on the program, but we always want to enlist his acumen going into the football season. He, no doubt, has done every sort of mathematical equation and done every laboratory test that can be done to figure out how the Sun Belt is going to shake out. Stats, good to have you back on the show, and we hope you're doing well.
Glad to be on, Kelly. Thank you for having me on. I hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, Dima and I have been looking forward to this segment to see how you think things are going to shake out. Let's talk specifically about the good guys, Southern Miss. I think Vegas has them at an over-under of 4 wins. That's about the way – and look, they're paid a lot of money to get that number pretty doggone close. Let's get the Stats McGee view of the Southern Miss season, and then we'll break down the rest of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that number is probably pretty accurate. I think you look at, obviously last year was an older team. In addition to it being an older team, you know, you had that coaching change, the Charles Tough going to Memphis, and he took a bunch of players with him. And then you had a number of other players go elsewhere. You had players go to Clemson and Baylor and a few other schools. So you don't bring back a lot of production. Quarterback, a question mark, especially with the health of Ethan Hampton. So I think that Vegas number is probably pretty accurate, even though that, you know, I think, some of us fans that I just love to be a little bit higher. I think that's just kind of the reality of where this roster is right now.
But playing devil's advocate, there would be people that would say, well, the other teams in the Sun Belt don't have a whole lot of, you know, other than perhaps Old Dominion and Louisiana, perhaps. I think they have the most. But most of the Sun Belt teams don't have a lot coming back.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you kind of look at that returning production with USM being, I mean, I was looking at the S&P Plus numbers from ESPN, Bill Connolly. I think he had USM as being dead last in returning production. So even though the USM, you know, are, even though other teams in the Sun Belt don't bring a lot back, I think USM is a little bit, extraordinary in the lack of returning production just because of that, older roster last year and then Charles Huff going to Memphis compared to the rest of the league. But yes.
Especially with the fact that a lot of these players don't have Division I, experience. And I think that's, the clarification, I think, with the difference of, for example, James Madison, 50 or 55 new players, but a lot of them have D1 experience, which is a little bit different. Patrick, I mean, one thing I've noticed when I've looked at the schedule, I mean, I think this schedule is tough. Even if this was a normal, quote-unquote, normal Southern Miss football team, it would be hard to get closer to that 7-8 win mark, even with last year's team, I think, against a schedule like this.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think you look at the non-conference, that's the part of the schedule that you can control a little bit. And then you have Alcorn State to open up with, you should win that. But then, you have an Auburn team that, despite Auburn being, kind of toward the bottom of the SEC the last several years, but it's still an SEC team on the road. They're going to have a bunch of talent. You're going to be, heavy underdogs in that game. Then you play a UConn team, which kind of like USM is in a transition year, sort of. They're bringing in Jason Candle from Toledo. So, UConn, they lost a lot of production with Jim Moore Jr. going to Colorado State, but then they were able to bring in someone like Jason Candle, who was able to bring a bunch of those Toledo players with them to kind of fill in some of that production that was lost. So that could be a difficult game. And then, obviously, Tulane, a team that won the AAC last year, lost some production, but still a strong foundation there. And then, obviously, the big storyline going into that game will be the kind of the Will Hall rematch. But, Tulane at this point, I think, is probably further ahead of USM just because of that foundation they've built over the last, 4 to 5, 6 years under Willie Fritz and John Summerall.
All right, so from a time standpoint, let's take a look at the West first, Stats. Break it down how you think the Sun Belt West will finish top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have to look at the teams that bring back the quarterbacks as kind of being toward the top. I think you have to look at, you know, La Tech, ULL, and South Alabama, and Troy is kind of being in that top four just because they bring back the quarterbacks. Although, you know, you kind of look at someone like Arkansas State that maybe could be in that mix as well, but they don't bring back the quarterback. Jalen Rayner obviously going to Iowa State, and they have a transfer in the mix there, and then they have a kid from Mobile that was highly recruited, high three-star type of guy, Josh Flowers, that could be in the mix there. So I know Butch Jones has kind of been, you know, cagey in terms of revealing, you know, exactly what's going to happen there. But I think you kind of look at the top maybe being ULL and La Tech, just the combined production they bring back as well as the quarterback. I think you could look at those top maybe being the top two, as well as Troy. So so those two schools in Louisiana, La Tech, ULL, and then Troy maybe being in that first tier, and then you kind of have the second tier there of Troy, Arkansas State, maybe USM, and then, you know, you bring in ULM kind of there toward the bottom.
I think ULM might be sneaky better than people anticipate this year if they stay healthy, but that's kind of a fingers crossed kind of thing. All right, let's cross over now. Everybody loves James Madison, even though they had a coaching change. They've had a lot of new players, although, like Dima said, they've got a lot of experience. When it comes to experience, to me, Old Dominion is the team that you really got to watch out for.
Marshall.
Yeah, and Marshall. So with your calculation stats, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think Old Dominion, that's going to be a really interesting thing because, you know, they had a really good year last year, and I guess they kind of just got lost in the shuffle. People kind of forgot about them just because they finished right behind JMU, who had a great year. But I think the thing that with Old Dominion is there is a little bit of transition there. The quarterback transferred, Colton Joseph, out of Old Dominion, went to Wisconsin, and then they also lost the offensive coordinator, I believe, as well. So they're bringing in a quarterback, or they're returning a quarterback, Quinn Heinickel, I believe is his name. Started the bowl game for him. I think there's questions around his passing ability. He's a good athlete, but I think the question is his ability to throw the ball. I think is going to be the key for ODU. And then obviously Marshall. I mean, I think, you know, Carlos Del Rio Wilson, you know, really kind of came on down the stretch for Marshall last year, and you know they were playing a lot better late in the year than they did early. So I think there is some room for optimism with Marshall. So I think you kind of look at those two, and then JMU. You kind of look at them as a program pick, just because of the amount of success they've had since joining the league. I think people are wondering what Billy Napier can do after a stint at Florida. Obviously, had a ton of success at Louisiana. They bring in a quarterback transfer from Richmond that has some success there. So going to be curious to see how that kind of translates from the FCS level to the Sun Belt level.
Going back to Southern Miss, this weekend against Alcorn State, obviously three touchdown favorites, so pretty safe to say that Southern Miss should handle business this weekend against Alcorn State. But what is the one area you're looking at, Patrick, this weekend from the team that would give you more confidence, you know, heading into the rest of the non-conference slate? And then one area that you're most looking forward to seeing, I guess, that's your most pique your interest this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the ability to control the line of scrimmage. I think that's kind of the thing I'm really looking out for. I mean, if you look in the past of some of these FCS games that USM has played, you know, kind of going back to 2023 against Alcorn State, 2024 against Southeastern, those were games that USM ended up winning fairly comfortably. But you kind of go back and look at those games and like, well, you know, USM really wasn't able to control the line of scrimmage. That ended up being a problem later in the year. So I think that's something that you really want to see dominate against a SWAC opponent. And then I think the thing you're kind of watching out for is just quarterback. Who's going to be out there at quarterback? How is the passing game going to look? Because if you're not able to, you know, I think that's kind of what, you know, every college football team kind of hinges on the quarterback in the passing game. But if you're not able to throw the ball with relative ease against this opponent, then, you know, you're probably not going to have a ton of success passing the ball throughout the year.
So all right, Patrick,
those two things.
We got about 30 seconds left. I'm going to ask you, overrated, underrated, you get to pick one team from the Sun Belt that you think fits those categories. So going into the season, what one Sun Belt team you think is overrated, even though we haven't taken a snap yet?
I'll say Old Dominion would be overrated, and I'll say La Tech may be underrated.
I'm with them on the Louisiana Tech. I just did all my predictions, and I had Louisiana Tech second in the league. The only reason I had them second is because I just didn't think they'd beat Louisiana. But I think there's a path in my head, you know, Patrick, if things click over there in Ruston, that team could be 10-2. I mean, just with the way their schedule lays out.
Yeah, it definitely could. And, you know, even their toughest game, I think, is at Baylor. Yeah. There may be, I can't remember if there's an LSU game in there as well.
Yeah, but they go to LSU.
Baylor, yep. So. Okay, they play, but still playing both, okay. So those are two tough games, but otherwise, yeah, pretty manageable schedule.
I think overrated JMU,
yeah,
underrated ULM. I'm telling you, I got a gut feeling. You know, we'll see. Because, like I said, most of their production was hurt last year. They're all back this year and stayed in Monroe.
The correct underrated answer, Kelly, would be Southern Miss, but you just left that one out.
Well, no, we're going to do fine.
Okay,
we're going to do fine. I kind of take them out of the mix on everything, because sometimes we see it with our hearts rather than our eyes. Anyway, other teams we can tend to look at it more realistically or more. You know, on the up and up. Stats, always good to have you on the program. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Patrick McGee, also known as Stats McGee. When we come back, we'll get you up to date with news and notes, and we'll go back over some of the times of the big reunion this weekend with the Nasty Bunch and the Other Bunch. The big reunion coming up this weekend for the opener against Alcorn, plus a couple of remotes coming up as well. We'll fill in those blanks, too. Back in a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back to the Eagle Hour. Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 in Hattiesburg. You can also check out Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. You can find them on Facebook. What's the flavor of the month, Kelly?
You know, I don't know. I haven't been there this month.
Well, of course, probably because it's the first month day of the month of yesterday.
Well, peach, yeah, that's right. And peach, you know, is always a summer flavor. So I'd imagine there's some of that still. But you can never go wrong with the cinnamon and butter and all the other things they've got there.
And if you were going to go eat, which you do a lot on Friday night, you know.
I eat a lot on every day that ends in Y.
Okay. But if on Friday night especially, there is a local restaurant that I would choose. I don't know if you'd choose it.
Well, the right answer for me is Movie Star.
That would be my answer, too.
Yeah, yeah. The best buffet that's been going for 25 years, and no business lasts that long unless you take care of your customers with...
Especially with you going through the buffet line. They generally run out of food.
And they normally will turn the sign around to say closed.
That's right.
You know, when they see me walking up.
That's right.
They're great family. When you're dealing with a family that puts out a good product, that's two things that certainly equate to a successful business. We're glad to have Movie Star as part of our Eagle Hour family and big Southern Miss supporters. Dima, tell us about the latest practice now. Big news.
Yeah, I was at practice yesterday, and we'll just go through this real quick. But Ethan Hampton did practice. I saw him throwing the football. He was with the ones. Anderson said still no quarterback decision yet, though, so we're still waiting on that. But they did say that they sat down with John White and told him that he's third string. So that is a development that at least we know it's between two players and not three players now. But Hampton did play, did practice, and I expect him to practice again tonight.
If you had to just – and it's just hypothetical what you've seen in the circumstances. And I'll say it. It makes sense to me that Liddy would get the start Saturday.
We'll see.
Based on the fact that he has had more reps.
I just think if he was going to get the start, he'd be going with the ones. And Hampton was with the ones last night.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be my only holdback on that.
Yeah, but that would also kind of tell you that there's a little bit of disparity between one and two.
Oh, certainly. That's what I've been saying all fall.
Yeah, so, in that depth chart.
Yeah.
So other news and notes, the soccer team back at the Marshall Bell facility tomorrow for a 4 o'clock start, I believe, against Jacksonville State, as Jacksonville State comes to town. Volleyball will be heading to an invitational this weekend where they will play Central Arkansas. That'll be on Saturday. Volleyball team off to a great start, and we hope to have some more of our volleyball members on this show as we get a little bit closer to conference play. Now, the Eagle Hour is going to be on the road tomorrow at Pocoma Casino. It's going to be really busy up there in Sandersville tomorrow because college football, week one officially, there are some Thursday night games. Aren't there like Friday night games too, Dima?
We got football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We take a break on Tuesday. Then we have Wednesday night NFL football on Wednesday.
And then a Thursday night game.
And then a Thursday night game, then Friday night game, and then another slate of college football games, then the official week one of NFL football. You got enough football to keep you company for the next 10 days.
So if there are, and I'm generalizing here, but if there are any wives that never see their husbands during football season, you might want to make sure now, you know, this weekend.
Right. You were mentioning how the Eagle Hour is going to be on the road. We do have breaking news.
We do. Our visitor from the East.
Yes, and we have some unfortunate news to share about him, Kelly, that you got a text, or it wasn't a text, a pigeon showed up at your house.
Yes, and I find it hard to believe that Kelnack, who was scheduled to be on this show Friday, has been held up, ladies and gentlemen, by ICE agents.
Oh, boy. Oh, sorry.
And apparently, they beat the snot out of his camel hump, the Wonder Camel. So I don't know if he's going to Uber here or if he even knows about Ubering, but he is on the continent.
He's on the continent.
Yes. So
next week, I guess, maybe. If they release him in time.
We hope. And and we thoughts and prayers to Hump, who felt the wrath of ICE. But Friday, we will be at MCS Home Center, which, of course, is the area's new big box center, home remodeling, home construction, home repair. You know where MCS is at, 7329 Highway 98 West. We're going to originate the one-hour Eagle Hour program from there on Friday, and some of the football players will be there with us as well. And again, a reminder from the top of the show, when Mark Means and Chuck Cook were here, the Nasty Bunch and Other Bunch reunion taking place this Saturday. If you have not been notified yet and you are players that played on the Southern Miss teams from 1977 to 1982, you're certainly invited. The check-in will be at 12:30 at the M Club. They're going to start at 12:30 with the check-in. Then the official festivities start at 1 o'clock. They will, as a group, then go to Eagle Walk at 1:30. Then enjoy some fellowship prior to 3:30, when they will all, as a group, go to Gate 9 of the stadium and be able to sit together for the 4 o'clock kickoff, Southern Miss against Alcorn State. So good luck to the Nasty Bunch and the Other Bunch as they have a reunion. And ultimately, Dima, their goal is also to raise money for a statue of Bobby Collins that would be placed somewhere on the at the facility area around the Rock. So I think that's admirable.
And we'll be making our picks, you know, on Friday, I assume, you know, while we're at MCS. But that line, you know, that it opened at 24. Southern Miss 24-point favorite all the way down to 20.5. So money coming in on the Braves. Who knows?
I tell you what, if you got money to burn, go ahead and bet. I lay off of all of them.
Yeah.
But look, we're looking forward to tomorrow. Bob Getty will be at Bocoma Casino. Me and Dima will be here in the studio. From all of us to all of you, have a great day. And until then, Southern Miss to the top. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.